Hello, everyone. My name is Destiny Allen. I love literature and tend to read and write about things that tug at the heartstrings. This is because I like to feel an emotional connection to what I'm reading, and for readers of my own writing to feel a connection to what I create. As for my topic, the central theme will be based on young heartbreak. Everyone has experienced heartbreak in some sense, and during our younger years, it was not as easy to manage with our gained knowledge today. I like for my writing to be relatable to my readers so that they can build an emotional connection, knowing they're not alone. I've also experienced heartbreak myself, so writing stories about the subject has always been a coping mechanism. Even if it doesn't relate to my situation, the feelings are all the same. To dive in, this poem is called I'm Sorry by L.M. You drive all night just for morning coffee by my side. Never seem preoccupied. Hold my hand when I'm terrified and choose me over pride. We imagine islands for just us, with drinks, books, and magical bags, tents built for two. I've never felt this young. For that you get the cred. You know how to get me out of my head. We play games with the sunset and talk until morning rise, knowing there is no good in night when I can't feel light. I know he won't love me like this. It's been bliss. My heart has only been swept away once. I wish it wasn't true, but it wasn't for you. This is a short story by Sydney Scheidman called After You're Gone. I'm dead. I watched my body be buried. I saw my wife, mother, father, and best friend cry. Other people too, but no one who I loved as much. My life revolved around them, and now I'm dead? Unable to kiss my wife, Dawn. Unable to hug my parents. Unable to share a beer with my best friend, Oliver. I just get to watch them cry. I get to watch them hurt, and I can't do anything about it. Just watch. I watched them all get in their cars after the service and got in the car with my wife, stepping through the closed doors. I sat there yelling, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I love you. She couldn't hear me. She cranked up the volume of the radio instead and cried. Even though the day was sunny, I could see the dark clouds I left in her mind, and the result was rain leaking from her eyes, the biggest storm ever seen in San Diego, all coming down from my love's eyes. As I tried yelling over the music, though, she perked up as if she heard something. She turned down the radio to listen and whispered, Jake? Yes, baby, it's me. I'm so sorry you have to go through this, but you can hear me, right? She shook her head after I finished speaking. She heard me say something, but not enough for her to know. She cranked back up her volume. Dawn cried for weeks. I watched her in my helpless state, wanting to reach out and touch her, hold her, and make her stop crying such storms. When she could feel me touching her shoulder and hand a few times, all I did was give her goosebumps. Eventually, it got better. A couple weeks after the funeral, she went back to work. After a few months, she started going out with friends, and she had moments of happiness. But she would always come home and break down. A year after the funeral, she was invited to go out with Oliver and his friends. They went to some bar, and he took her home. She cried to him, the first time she had cried in front of someone in 4 months. I watched him hold her and tell her she would feel better eventually. He comforted her through the night, fell asleep on the couch, and helped her get out of bed in the morning. But it was that morning. They talked for hours. They talked about me at first, but it later switched to their jobs, each other, and what they wanted in the future. Eventually, Oliver asked her the question I didn't know I was afraid of. Do you think you'll ever move on? When he asked, I almost cried. I tried hitting him, but being a ghost makes that hard. I don't know, she whimpered. I haven't really thought about it yet. Right now it feels like I never will. Like it would be wrong if I did. I would think he would want you to move on. I don't know if I wanted her to move on. We were supposed to grow old together, have kids, have a life of our own. But a guy high out of his mind decided to take that away from me, from Dawn. Before it could really start, I was just going home to see Dawn after a long day of work. The song Wonderwall by Oasis was playing, and the lights were green for as long as the dark road would let me see. I was crossing the intersection, but then there was nothing. I don't remember anything until I was standing next to Dawn, being told what was happening. It must have been 4 in the morning. The lights from the ambulances and cop cars were all I could see. The cop telling her about the cracked-out driver was all I could hear, and the sobs coming from Dawn was all I wanted to fix. But a year later, and Oliver is already talking about moving on? No, I still love her. I'm still here sleeping beside her at night, sitting across from her while she eats breakfast, sitting in the passenger seat on her way to work. I'm watching her live without me. I know she can't see me, but she has to know I'm always going to be with her. As the years go on, she cries less. I watch her and Oliver get closer. She moves on, not with Oliver, but with some other guy. Apparently, he's super nice and makes her happy, but I don't think she is. Dawn and the new guy, Trevor, have been dating for a few months. When Oliver first introduced him to her, I thought that there was no way that Dawn would go on a date with him. Sure, he was dressed nice, but his hair was greasy and his facial hair was kept unclean. Dawn, on the other hand, well, she looks like a goddess. Her hair was the perfect loose curls, and her eyes are a fantastic sea green, and when she looks at you, the whole world stops moving. She's all that's here. I suppose their date went well, though, because she's still dating him. He comes over and takes over for what I used to do. He started watching all of her favorite shows with her and taking her to beautiful places. All the things that I can't do for her anymore, not with her knowing that is. The second anniversary of my death passed while they were dating, and she wasn't as hurt because he comforted her. The holiday season came and went, and she had a way easier time this year as well. I'm happy that she isn't in so much pain, but I'm not the one that fixed it for her. But I still hear her talk about me. She still wears the ring, but on a chain now. Nothing is the same since him. I no longer feel welcomed in her life. So, I decided to leave. I find myself walking through downtown. As a ghost, it isn't hard to find a place in the crowd. People walk through me, and I walk through them. But eventually I walk into the place where we used to eat when we were celebrating. It's where we went on our first date, when she got a promotion at work, and where I proposed. It was where we took our big steps together. I linger at the table in the back of the room. I watch as the people come in and out. They talk and laugh. But then I see Oliver come in, and Dawn is with him. I race over to them and hear them say that they're getting a table for 5. Dawn's boyfriend must be coming, and maybe some of their friends. As they get seated, Dawn looks at Oliver with tears in her eyes and says, "I wish he was still here." "Me too," he replies. The door opens again and my parents come walking in and sit down in 2 of the 3 seats available at the table. They all greet each other and hug. As my dad sits down, he blurts, 3 years is a long time. 3 years? Since I died? It can't be. Yeah, I wish I knew if he was here, Dawn solemnly replies. I'm sure he is, so pull out a chair for him and let us remember Jake. My mom cheerfully adds. Her words caused Oliver to pull out a chair and I take a seat. This is a dinner for them to remember me. This poem is called Valuables by Me. Porcelain glass, I break at last, my entirety now shattered to pieces. I pick up what is left of me and soon hand them off to my sweet. Hopefully she'll take care of me. The scars will fade away. That is, until she crumples me up and I become disregarded completely. I never stood a chance, not until she found me. She scooped me up and now it was a puzzle no longer worth solving. Each day was worth another try, but she'd eventually give up and I'd cry. Now I move on with someone else, a piece of fabric that'd become a hand-me-down. I'm stuck in an endless loop and I wonder, when will it stop? She swept me off my feet until I'd feel complete. That's when she'd give me up and stomp all over me. Everything left of my heart was all but a memory. I was whisked away from existence, never to be for eternity. All of which because she found me. Porcelain glass, I break at last. Her words like a knife to my heart. My being shattered as a whole. Oh, how the world can be so cruel. My eyes fill with tears as her mouth fills me with lies. A hand is offered in which I must take, and when I glance back, I hope that she's awake. My existence will cease to be, so that she may peacefully fall back asleep. Love Elegy in the Chinese Garden with Koi by Nathan MacLean. Near the entrance, a patch of tall grass. Near the tall grass, long-stemmed plants, each bending an ear-shaped cone to the pond's surface. If you look closely, you could make out silvery koi swishing toward the clouded pond's edge, where a boy tugs at his mother's shirt for a quarter to buy fish feed. And watching that boy as he knelt down to let the koi kiss his palms, I missed what it was to be so dumb as those koi. I like to think they're pure, that that's why even after the boy's palms were empty, after he had nothing else to give, they still kissed his hands. Because who hasn't done that, love so intently even after everything is gone? Love something that washed its hands of you. I like to think I'm different now, that I'm enlightened somehow. But who am I kidding? I know I'm like those koi. Still, with their popping mouths, that would kiss those hands again if given the chance. So dumb. This story is called Text Back by Me. 12:33 a.m. I lie awake in the comfort of my bed. I can't help but glance back and forth at the alarm clock on my nightstand beside me, or to the phone on my pillow. I took in a deep breath, sighing quietly. I readjusted the way I laid in bed, allowing the soft blankets to consume me. The pillow I rested on felt almost as though it was a rock that had a thin sheet of fabric tossed over it. It was uncomfortable, yet the only one I had. Perhaps a mattress would be easier on my neck. So I removed the pillow from underneath me and lazily shoved it to the floor. That's when my notification for my phone went off. The only light in my room flashed from it as I received a text message. I quickly propped myself up onto my elbows, leaning over the nightstand to grab the device. It was exactly who I wanted it to be from, my girlfriend. "Hey," she said. "Hey, how are you?" She wasn't very fast to respond. I've waited about 16 hours for her response. And I know that it's weird that I count it, but I can't help it. I understood that she was a busy person, but she usually had time to talk later in the night. Besides, it was the weekend. I closed my eyes and reached my hands towards the ceiling. I began to distract myself and draw shapes into the air, turning them into more detailed images that I wasn't physically able to create. I drew various animals, mountains, and forests, the sky and buildings. I drew everything. And then I dropped my hand back down to my chest and opened my eyes to darkness again. This time, my phone was lying beside me on the bed. I turned onto my other side to face away from it. I was always an overthinker, which she, of all people, knew. I closed my eyes again and imagined a scenario where she texted me back with a long, sweet paragraph as I do for her. Even an "I love you" would make me happy, or a "good night" or "sweet dreams" would make me feel much better than I did right now. I hugged my knees and brought them closer to my chest to curl up under the covers. Why did I suddenly feel so insecure? We've been together for a few years now. Our anniversary was yesterday, and I treated her to a night out to her favorite restaurant. Everything went just how I'd hoped for it to go. Plenty of conversation, laughter, smiles, all of it. I was always the one to strike up the conversations, though. She had never been the type to message first, nor talk first. It was for the most part me. I turned back onto my other side to face my phone this time to check it. No notifications. For some reason, those words seemed to scream at me. No notifications. No notifications. No notifications. Stop checking. I couldn't help it. She was all I wanted to talk to, To pass the time quicker, I scrolled through my feed on social media just to see if she was active on anything. To my surprise, she was. Should I message her again? I grabbed my phone and decided to sit up, scooting back to rest against the headboard of my bed. I reopened the text app and stared at her name for a few minutes to contemplate what to say. I didn't want to sound clingy, but I also wanted to leave her enough to respond to. And when I finally gathered the courage to open our messages, I noticed that I had been left on scene. She read it. She read it and never replied. Or did she click out of the app too fast? I had a tendency to reply quicker than most. Because of this, a lot of people never actually received what I texted them. To stay positive, I assumed she hadn't seen it. It wasn't like her to leave me on scene anyways. As soon as I went to reply, little bubbles popped up on her end of the screen that indicated she was typing. My eyes lit up in excitement, and a smile crept upon my lips. "Hey, sorry. I got wrapped up in a few things." Before I could respond, she texted me again. It was her usual question. "Why are you up so late?" "I can't sleep. I just wanted to talk to you for a bit." "Cute. It's late, though. We can talk tomorrow?" For some reason, those words stung a little. She always wanted to talk to me, even if it was late. Whenever I told her I wanted to sleep, she would always ask me to stay up a little longer. This didn't seem like her, so I asked, "Are you okay?" This time I was left undelivered, meaning that she hadn't opened it yet, or even looked. I wonder what she could have been doing at this time of night. Whatever it was, I continued to wait. I closed my eyes and leaned my head back against the wooden headboard behind me. I kept a firm grip on my phone, resting it in my lap. "Please, just text me again," I wanted to tell her. I was starting to worry. 1:42 a.m. I was exhausted. I decided that it was time to text her again. After all, it's been about an hour or so now. I was hoping she didn't fall asleep, otherwise I'd be upset. I really missed her. "Are you awake still?" I asked. Within a matter of seconds, she responded, "Yes, I am." I was surprised to receive a message back so quickly. Now, I needed to figure out what to say. I needed to keep a conversation going, but I didn't know how to. She seemed so uninterested tonight that I began to wonder if she didn't wish to speak with me. Except, she's my girlfriend. I shouldn't feel that way. She shouldn't feel that way. And I was overthinking again. "Could I ask you something?" she replied. "Of course. What is it?" It took her a few minutes to type. My heart was racing from the anxiety brewing inside me. Maybe it was that sweet paragraph I was expecting, or something else, like a poem. She did those on occasion. I tried to calm myself down the best I could, but I couldn't calm down. Then I started to remember all the sweet things she said to me. Yesterday she mentioned some of the most reassuring things I've ever heard come out of someone's mouth. With the thought of that, I felt better. I took in a deep breath and sighed quietly to myself as her text message finally sent. My heart dropped. Should we really even be together anymore? I mean, I'm tired of living through the same routine with you. I want to put myself out there and meet new people. Being with you feels suffocating and it's horrible. It feels like 2 years of my life were wasted. I liked you at first, but I realized that I just needed someone to fill the empty spaces. I've been talking to this boy recently, and I didn't text you because we've been hanging out since you and I got back from dinner. I just thought you should know. I'd prefer if you didn't text me again either. This was hard enough. Sorry for delaying it so long, and I'll see you at school. I felt my heart drop into my stomach. At first, I felt emotionless. I almost expected this from her, considering the way she'd been acting recently. The more I examined it, the more I realized how distant she really was. I never noticed it because I wanted to avoid it. I should have paid more attention to her feelings. I could have avoided this too. I wanted to text her back, but she told me not to. I didn't want things to end like this. The more thought I put into it, the more I started to feel helpless. I lifted my phone and threw it across the room as hard as I could. I didn't care if it shattered. I didn't care if I went without a phone. I don't care about anything. She doesn't care. It doesn't matter. And I hate everything. I brought my knees to my chest again as I sat against the headboard. I buried my face in my knees and did my best to breathe in and out. You're okay. Everything's okay. I'm okay, okay? I began to sniffle, my body violently convulsing with each weep. I tried everything I could to make her happy. I could have sworn she was pleased. She was only lying to me the entire time. Why would she do that? My weeps became more persistent. I felt my mood declining by the second. My world was crashing around me. I thought she was the one. I dedicated everything to her. I gave her all that I had. And yet, I wish I never met her.